At Gibeon, the Lord appeared to Solomon during the night in a dream, and God said, "Ask for whatever you want me to give you." Solomon answered, "You have shown great kindness. You have shown great kindness to your servant, my father David, because he was faithful to you and righteous and upright in heart. You have continued this great kindness to him and have given him a son to sit on his throne this very day. Now, Lord my God, you have made your servant king in the place of my father David, but I am only a little child and do not know how to carry out my duties. Your servant is here among the people you have chosen, a great people too, too numerous to count or number. So give your servant a discerning heart to govern your people and distinguish between right and wrong, for who is able to govern this great people of yours?" The Lord was pleased that Solomon had asked for this. So God said to him, "Since you have asked for this and not for long life or wealth for yourself, nor have you asked for the death of your enemies, but for your discernment in administering justice, I will do what you have asked. I will give you a wise and discerning heart, so that there will never have been anyone like you, nor will there ever be. Moreover, I will give you what you have not asked for, both wealth and honor, so that in your lifetime you will have no equal among kings. And if you walk in the obedience to me and keep my decrees and commands, as David your father did, I will give you a long life." Then Solomon awoke, and he realized it had been a dream. He returned to Jerusalem, stood before the Ark of the Lord's Covenant, and sacrificed burnt offerings and fellowship offerings. Then he gave a feast for all his court.
I'd like to invite Matthew to come forward and share with us around this passage of scripture. So thanks, Matthew.
Well, the avalanche of news and commentary that we have before us regularly reminds us that we live in a complicated world. Life wasn't meant to be easy. That's what the late Prime Minister Malcolm Fraser said over 40 years ago. It struck a nerve with many Australians. Maybe many accept even today that this is true as we run businesses, raise families, meet deadlines, follow guidelines, cooperate with technology, in a world that's becoming increasingly more complicated. And sometimes there are partial solutions. Sometimes clever people come up with a difference, make a difference. Sometimes good deeds are done to alleviate a problem. What is it about the Lord Jesus that gives us hope? After Solomon became king, the Lord met him at a time when life was complicated. He was a young man, probably about in his 20s, now on the throne of his father David. And just prior to these verses we're looking at this morning, Solomon had made an alliance with Pharaoh, the king in Egypt, married his daughter, living with the weight of expectation to build this temple. The people were sacrificing at the high places, which isn't the way the Lord's people were meant to worship. His love for the Lord is genuine, though mixed, compromised. And although he walked according to the statutes of his father David, he's offering sacrifices and burned incense on the high places. And one of these high places is a place called Gibeon. Gibeon was about 5 miles northwest of Jerusalem. It's described there as the great high place, which is why Solomon went there. Gibeon was great for the tabernacle, and the altar there were left by his father David, who brought the ark into Jerusalem. And there at Gibeon, Solomon demonstrated his love for the Lord by offering 1,000 burnt offerings, showing his faith in the Lord and willingness to obey his commandments. Life is complicated for King Solomon. But at Gibeon, the Lord appeared to him in a remarkable way. He receives an open-ended offer in a dream. We aren't told what Solomon saw, for the Lord appeared to him by speaking. What's important is not what he saw, but what he heard. Remarkable words. "And what I shall give you. Ask what I shall give you." A blank check. As parents, we might say, "What would you like for your birthday?" And depending on the child or the grandchild, we hold our breath. You see, our resources are limited. What they should have and what they want can be very different. But here is the Lord who owns a cattle on 1,000 hills, infinitely rich, resourceful. He can deliver. In Psalm 2, God's king, speaking about the Lord, says, "The Lord said to me, 'You are my son, today I've begotten you. Ask of me, and I'll make or give the nations as your inheritance, and the ends of the earth as your possession.'" And he delivered to the perfect son, God's forever king. For God has given him all authority in heaven and on earth. Do we have such an invitation to pray? To ask what I shall give you? Does not the Lord Jesus say to us who trust in him, who seek to do his will in his complicated world, "Ask, and it will be given to you"? How do you think God should deploy his resources in your life? What should you ask? Our Father knows what we need even before we ask. Your concerns are already his concerns. He will use the resources of the Godhead to bring you to glory, to guard you on the way, and in particular give you his wisdom for being faithful to him and to not be ashamed of him in this generation. Are you weighed down, stressed out, worried by this complicated life? Ask what I shall give you. Look with me at the prayer. And there's three aspects I just want to draw out to you this morning. The first is how it is shaped by God's steadfast love. As much as the invitation is remarkable, so is the response from Solomon. He's thinking, is just saturated by God's word. Solomon knew that he was on David's throne because of the steadfast love of the Lord towards his father. This kindness to David was a free gift. It was grace. For the Lord had removed from David his wrongdoing, not because David was particularly good, but because of the gracious, kind, steadfast love of the Lord, which then caused David to walk before the Lord in faithfulness, righteousness, and an upright heart. Here there is when prayer begins with praise, as we remember the great and steadfast love of the Lord, how wide, long and high and deep it is. Remembering that God is faithful, who keeps his promises from Abraham to the empty tomb. Remembering the words of the Lord Jesus, who sympathises with us in our weaknesses. Remembering that living out a life of obedience to the Lord is because of his grace. His steadfast love never ceases, and his mercies are new, never come to an end. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. And it is not forgetting that he nurtures us with the gratitude and gives us confidence to pray. If you are not praying, then most likely you have forgotten the great and steadfast love of the Lord towards you. The constant faithfulness and his mercy to start again. That needs to be rekindled and reignited and renewed. Perhaps a place for you to start is to take Solomon's words and make them your own. That you have given to me a son, the Son of God, to sit on his throne today. The great Son of David, the Lord Jesus, on a forever throne, now invites us, ask what I shall give you. A second aspect of Solomon's prayer is how weak for the task he is. Because he is now king according to a promise there, a little bit like David we saw last week, who was saying, "Who am I? Who am I to be king, and what is my house?" It's exactly really how we ought to be as we live in this complicated world. Who am I? You should put your grace on me. Upon these people, the church, what steadfast love is this? And so for the task of the ruling king here in David's line, in view of the sheer magnificence of God's plan and promise and character, Solomon says, I'm just like a little child. I don't know how to lead these people. Your servant, Lord, has limited experience, a limited ability to do this. I wonder if you've ever sensed that in your own life, something like that. Weak for the task. Sometimes as parents we feel this. The goalposts keep moving as the children grow up and develop. And then you get the parenting manual out. And you're trying to apply something out of that, and it's difficult. Trying to put into practice that Joshua principle of the household living, as for me, my household will serve the Lord. It's challenging enough. What about for a young king? Not just over a complicated household, but over a multitude of people. A people chosen by the Lord. You sort of sense the weight of responsibility that Solomon has got here, not to muck it up. To be king over the people the Lord had promised to Abraham. Now partially fulfilled, as the number is just so vast, with too many to count. He sensed his inadequacy for the task. And friends, we aren't kings. We aren't rulers like Solomon was. But it is our intention, is it not, to live for God's kingdom? For God's glory? For his reign? like Solomon, we are the Lord's servants. Bought by the precious blood of the Lord Jesus, how are we to live out the rule of Jesus in our lives as we conduct ourselves at our work tomorrow? How does the reign of the Lord Jesus show itself as we raise children in the fear and the knowledge of the Lord? Who is up for such a task as living for the Lord Jesus in this complicated time with a multitude of opinion, distraction, and lifestyles? Solomon knew what he needed. And we come to the third request, the third part of the prayer, the request for a listening heart. Just if you've got your Bibles open, just look with the passage with me, this verse 9. It says, "Give your servant, therefore, an understanding mind to govern your people, that I may discern between good and evil, and who is able to govern this your great people." That expression really literally is saying, grant a listening or a hearing heart. He couldn't rule the way God intended from discovering the inner man, looking within himself. He wasn't asking the Lord, you know, to somehow realize his inner potential. There was something he needed to hear, and hear deeply. The heart in the Bible is essentially who you are. And you see, Solomon is asking for spiritual, intellectual, and emotional understanding. To not merely hear the word of God, but believe that word. To love that word, to be shaped by that word, to not be hard-hearted to that word, but a listening heart. He asks not that the Lord would enhance his life, but how can he make God's people secure? Not how can I succeed personally in life? But how can I most profit the people of God? He needed a listening heart to the word of God, so he will bring justice, put things right, bring order to complexity and chaos in the lives of God's people. To discern between good and evil. Nothing is straightforward when community attitudes or values is the measure of good and evil. We need to hold to the conviction that in God's word, what is good and what is evil isn't decided by us. It is to be discerned by us. By having listening hearts to the Lord's word in Scripture. You have no kingdom responsibility like Solomon, but you can ask for hearing hearts to the Lord's word to do what is good for others. We'll do that when our desire is to live wisely as his servants. And when we know in ourselves we can't do this, we need the Lord to give us the wisdom we need. Although you are not a king, you can pray like one. Praying with praise for the steadfast love of the Lord, for his mercies and constant faithfulness to fulfill what he has promised. And then with humility, pray, recognizing our weaknesses our limitations, admitting how weak you are, to care for parents, to serve your spouse, to raise your children, to love your neighbour, to lead a ministry, to share the gospel, and any other thing that the Lord is calling you to do. Doesn't James tell us that in the midst of various trials of many kinds, that if any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask from the giving God, who gives to all generously. Our concern should be for others. A concern for the welfare of God's people, to pray with one eye open for the good of others. Solomon wasn't asking for a listening heart to feel good, like some alternate spirituality that might be emphasized today with its focus on self. His prayer was for the good of the Lord's people, for whom he was king. And he needed to hear rightly, to be able to rule rightly. He could then bring good order to God's people, like the good order that God's word gave when the Lord spoke and created the heavens and the earth. In wisdom, the Lord founded the earth. In wisdom, the Lord made all his works. The wisdom the Lord gave Solomon was what was needed for him to do justice, to bring order to the world according to God's good will. And Solomon's dilemma to rule justly had been answered, for Jesus has declared that as he hears, he judges, and his judgment is just. Right. And that's why the answer ultimately to the complexities and chaos and disorder and complications in life are found under the reign of the all-wise King, whose judgment is just. And we still wait to see that reign filling the whole earth and be recognized by all. He said, "He who sent me is true. And I declare to the world what I've heard from him." Here is wisdom. That in the gospel, to listen. The Christian life is a life of listening deeply to him and to declare to the world what we have received from him. Well, Solomon's prayer pleased the Lord. And he was pleased with everything that Solomon said. He didn't ask for a long life or riches or success, the downfall of his enemies. These are the things of man who doesn't know the Lord. Solomon's request for a listening heart to discern good and evil was his way of really seeking first the kingdom of God and his righteousness. And all these things were given him as well. He was promised riches and honour. And should Solomon walk in the Lord's way, obeying the Lord's word, seeking the kingdom first, he would experience a long life. If Solomon could pray in such a way that what he said pleased the Lord, then should we not make this the goal of our praying? Think of it like this, that the goal of our praying, of our worship, is to give pleasure to God. Consider what attitude is in you as you gather for church, or as you pray on your own or for others. Is it to give pleasure to God? to what you ask for. And how you go about presenting your request to him. It just seems to be something very different here than simply having a shopping list. It certainly changed Solomon. We read in verse 15 that he moved from Gibeon to Jerusalem. And there in Jerusalem, we see him standing before the Ark of the Lord. And as he stood, you see, he is ready for service. To the burnt offerings, we see that he's added peace offerings, which his father David had given when the Ark had been brought into Jerusalem. It was time to celebrate peace in Solomon's kingdom. It was time for a feast for all the servants. A wise king will listen to the Lord's word. Wisdom comes from a listening heart. Wisdom is what complicated lives need. Wisdom from God. And many years later, the Lord would promise through Isaiah a king upon whom will rest the spirit of wisdom and understanding. The news the world needs to hear is that one greater than Solomon has come. People stood in awe of him. It was unparalleled. But not just a wise teacher, like a life coach, someone who's going to give you some good advice for helping you on your way. In him is hid all the treasures of wisdom and knowledge. He is wisdom from God. His cross is wisdom from God. For in him is the only hope given for our complicated, disordered world. He is God's king. He is the one who conquered death and resurrected in power, reigning with all authority, sending his spirit to live and rule in the hearts of all who believe, the spirit of wisdom. And praying by the spirit arises from listening hearts to his word. Such prayers seek God's kingdom first. Such prayers are concerned for the well-being of others. Such prayers want more of the Spirit's work in our lives. And with such prayers, the Lord is pleased. Let us pray. Gracious Heavenly Father, as we've seen through the example in Solomon's life, our prayer this morning would be that you would grant us the wisdom that we need for living in this complicated world. We desperately need, Lord, to be seeking the kingdom first in our prayers and in our living. And so bringing the news of the wisdom from God to others. As we seek to live in this world, Father, as your servants, we pray that the reign of Jesus might be very much totally in our hearts. And as we conduct ourselves in our work, in our families, our homes, we pray that this wisdom may indeed show itself as we point to our Lord and Saviour, the hope for the nations. Father, we are weak and we need your help. Grant us the power of your Spirit that it might move in us with such conviction, with such confidence, as we seek to live for our Lord's honour and glory. In Jesus' name, amen.